Good morning. We have three readings for today: Old Testament, Gospel, and Epistle. First, from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Our gospel reading this morning comes from John. We hear the words that Jesus speaks. John chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the Message translation. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limits. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. I wonder what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Thanks be to God.
Love extravagantly.
Would you pray with me?
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts draw us closer to you, our strength and our guide. Amen. So last week we talked about tea, transformed through service to others, where we talked about service being a tool we use to allow God to work in the world, transforming both the world and us. We reflected on what it means to give and to receive in service as an outpouring of someone's faith. This week, we're moving into E, engaged in spiritual friendships or spiritual relationships, a mark of discipleship that is really connected to T, transformed through service to others. I see church as this place where we can come and practice together what life with God really in charge is all about. We might feel uncomfortable giving or receiving in service out in the neighborhood, but hopefully with enough practice here in the community of Northwood United, we can gain confidence. Building relationships with these lovely people also helps you with I, inspired through daily conversation with Scripture. Maybe the guy you sit next to on the bus every morning on your way to work isn't so excited to hear your reflections on the Scripture you just read, but I bet you know you could talk to any one of your church friends about some insights or some reflections, and they'd be glad to hear it. And it is the relationships here in church that you lend yourself to when you are present in Sunday morning worship. That's N, nourished in weekly worship. When we pray with someone, when we sing with someone, when we chat about the sermon, we're building relationships. And this community may be one of the only places in your life where you could ask for prayer. You, uplifted through daily prayer. Hang on, she's talking about friendship? Why did she have Deborah read that marriage passage from Corinthians? Don't worry, we'll get there. Let's start with what spiritual friendship is. Basically, it's a relationship you have in which you feel safe being yourself and exploring some deeper elements of your faith. This might be the person you walk your dog with on Tuesday mornings. It might be the person who offers you healing touch. It could be the folks in your small group study, or even more formally, a spiritual director you see, which if you haven't seen a spiritual director, I would highly recommend it. Oftentimes, these types of relationships will be spiritually focused on their own. In a Bible study, folks spend time each week exploring different elements of their faith together. Sometimes the spiritual is implicit simply because of the nature of your relationship. But we can also develop explicit spiritual friendships. Maybe you're getting to know someone here at church and you could say, you know, I really would like to spend some time with you building a spiritual friendship. I admire your faith and I'd love to have a partner in growth and accountability, keeping a God-centered life. Spiritual friendships will sometimes be separated from other friendships or relationships that you have. For example, I don't always talk with other moms at school drop-off about God. There are some I do, absolutely. But some of these women are absolutely my friends, just not necessarily spirituality teammates. I do, however, have two neighbors who, whenever we're out playing with our children, tending the garden, washing the car, we might start talking about school, but we always end up on God, or the Bible, or prayer, or other spiritual matters. I found myself praying with a neighbor in our driveway before. They are spiritual relationships. I also have a couple of very close friends who know me better than anyone, who are almost like my spiritual accountability friends. They are friends who love me so much that they are not afraid to call me out on behaviors that are out of line with my faith. I think sometimes in our current culture, the word friend has been somewhat cheapened by social media. On Facebook, I have 613 friends. Now, I know I'm pretty likable, but I can tell you, I do not have 613 friends. I probably know 613 people. I probably have 20 good friends. So, Let's get back to our readings for this morning. First, from Ecclesiastes. Most people are most familiar with the lines from Ecclesiastes 3, "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die," the list goes on. Less known is this little nugget in chapter 4. The writer is expressing the futility of life lived on one's own, moving into these wonderful words about being in relationship. "Two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help." Isn't that a truth of life? Let me tell you, I have witnessed that very thing at work here in this congregation. I have seen folks struggle, go through some of the most difficult times of their lives. And I have seen you show up for them. Spiritual friendship. If we move into the John passage, it's important to note the context. This is part of the address of the resurrected Jesus to a post-resurrection disciple community. It's like us. The first line, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you," gives us a clear focus on the abiding love that binds God, Jesus, and his disciples, us, into one. Jesus is teaching us how to be in a community of disciples. "Love one another as I have loved you." That means we actually have to hang out every once in a while. I say that with humor, but I actually mean it quite seriously. Jesus loved with a self-giving love based in relationship. We are called, we are chosen, we are appointed as Jesus' friends to serve the world. But we need to be together in order to do that. In verse 15, we have it written that he said, "I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father." Or in another translation, "I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything." What does that teach us about spiritual friendships in a community of faith? That we are to open our faith to others, to share it here, to allow each other to know us in our faith, which can be a really vulnerable place. It's about authenticity. Transparency. And then we have this reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I was at a wedding 2 weeks ago where this was the scripture reading. So familiar and still beautiful. And it so often gets used as a descriptor or directive for marriages, but that wasn't actually its original purpose, though it does work. In the ancient world, the people of Corinth had a reputation as an unruly, hard-drinking, promiscuous bunch. Paul stayed with them for more than a year, teaching the gospel message, teaching them how to live out, basically, what we've just read in John, "Love one another as I have loved you." After he left, Paul received a letter from a family in Corinth asking for help because everything had just fallen apart. The first letter to the Corinthians is his response. This is Paul explaining to us how to be in community, understanding that we are all prone to poor choices, and that what we are seeking is love, the love that comes from God made known to us in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus has taught us that we must love each other as he loves, and Paul is teaching us how we translate that into real life. So think of these words when you enter a stewardship meeting. Use these words as a guide in the next board meeting. Let Paul's words resonate with you in the planning of the fall fair, the making of the coffee, the building of your spiritual friendships. Love never gives up. Love cares for others more than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of the truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Does that change any issues you might have with one another? What about if I remind you of that Matthew 5 passage? This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and, about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Or say you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. Our readings today all point to living in friendship. Real, spiritual friendship with one another. Ecclesiastes, life alone sucks. Let's do it together. John, yes, let's do it together in love. Corinthians, yes, do it together in love. And this is how it works. I've been reflecting each week on the disciplines of discipleship, all the while saying, don't worry, God is with you, Spirit is with you, Jesus is leading the way. But don't forget to look around. These are fabulous companions for the journey, ones who really care, ones who want to walk alongside you. Ones who are worth investing yourself into. They say that one of the biggest influences on us are those who we spend our time with. What if we spent more time with these people? Those who are trying to do their best to love and serve God and be a beacon of light and hope in the world. May we have the courage to know one another in love today. Amen. As we move into a time of sung reflection, I'd invite you to stay seated, sing, don't sing, just be who you are.